Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. We got a lot to get into today here on the program. We had Pekka Rinne statue unveiling this past weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Jim Diamond from the Associated Press will join us. Nick Kieser caught up with Aaron Sims, who's the play-by-play voice for the Milwaukee Admirals. So looking forward to that conversation with him a little bit later in the show as well. But we start with what a win for the Nashville Predators on Tuesday night as they go on the road to the Boston Bruins to play the best team in the NHL and take down the Bruins by a final score of 2-1. And just a couple of seconds away from being a 2-0 shutout win for the Predators on Tuesday night. What a win and what an exchange of events that took place on Tuesday night, with the Predators winning in Boston and Winnipeg losing, getting shut out by the San Jose Sharks late on Tuesday night out west. We got a lot to get to on that front. We kind of let things off that way on Robbie and Rex Road, talking about that game, what a win that was for the Predators, and what it could mean for this Predators team as they continue to march ahead here towards the final few weeks of the regular season. Here was that conversation from this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. What a win last night for the Nashville Predators. They win 2-1 on the road against the Boston Bruins. They were literally just over a second away from shutting out the Boston Bruins last night, and David Pastrnak gets a late goal to score his 52nd goal of the season. But the Predators, without Roman Josi and Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg and Alex Carrier, I can keep going, of the injuries that they've sustained lately, without all those guys, they march into Boston last night, a place that has been virtually impossible for anybody to win this year, and they skate out of there with a 2-1 win last night against a team that heading into the game was 57-11-5 on the season. Not only that, Joe, not only did the Predators go in and take down the best team in the league last night on the road with that roster, but then late last night, the Winnipeg Jets are on the road in San Jose. They get shut out 3-0 by the lowly San Jose Sharks. Rick Bowness, their coach after the game, basically calls their players out and says something to the effect of, if these guys feel like they're emptying their tank, they're dreaming, was the quote that Rick Bowness had after the game. Last night, I almost said Will Levis. He did not speak after the Jets-Sharks game last night. But having said that, all that being said, the Jets and the Predators now separated by 3 points in the Preds have 2 games in hand. I did not anticipate last night the Predators beating Boston and Winnipeg being shut out by San Jose and the gap closing last night, but that's exactly what happened.
It's wild, and because you know the weekend kind of felt like, okay, it's been a good run for the young Preds, but now the injuries continue to pile up, and that's probably it, right? That's probably it, and then they go do this. And by the way, they're away record, you know, right now is better than their home record this year. So, I mean, they have one more game, but it's a win. 19-4-4 against 18-4-4, which is interesting for the Preds. But that's the type of win that, I mean, you can't put them away now. Now they're going to Pittsburgh next.
Yep.
And you see the turmoil, clearly, if your coach is calling you out like that. You know, that team's in a little bit of a tailspin. Terrible loss. So, it's interesting. They're going to keep it interesting here moving forward. I still wonder if they don't get somebody's back, some of these key players, like, can you really expect them to carry this through? But, hey, they're hanging in there. It's too bad. I mean, of all the things about last night, incredible effort, win, like you said. I mean, it's kind of just out of nowhere, and it's easily the best team in the league this year, but it is too bad that Saros doesn't get a shutout.
It is. 2 seconds.
That's an absolute, you know, gem by him that deserved to be a shutout.
Yep, no question about it. And, you know, we had David Poile on yesterday. He said that Josi's on the trip and that he wasn't going to play yesterday. I guess there's a chance he plays tomorrow. I mean, that's the trip. So I guess there's a chance he plays tomorrow
against Pittsburgh. We'll see if he's ready for that or not. But it does sound like good news on him either way that he's at least close. Nobody else is really all that close. He said nobody else is on the trip. Nobody else is playing this week. So Yossi really the lone guy right now that is probably close to coming back, which, look, that'd be great if you could get Roman Yossi back with the offense that he drives the table. I mean, look, they win last night. We've talked about it. I mean, they're basically at two goals a game right now. That's where they're at with their team. And anything more than that really is gravy with the way that the roster is constructed right now. So, I mean, it's really hard to win that way consistently in the NHL, but they have mastered winning 2-1 games so far this year, and that's where they're at right now. We got a texture that says, don't get too excited about the Preds win. The Bruins have nothing to play for. And I understand that idea. Now, first off, they did have something to play for last night. They could have clinched the President's Trophy with a win last night. But that aside,
yeah, they'll get it.
They're going to get it. Yeah. But don't take away from that win. That's a heck of a win
right.
by the Predators last night. There's really no way that the roster that Boston trotted out there last night and the roster that the Predators trotted out there last night, the Predators had no business being in that game last night, and yet they did, and they won.
Yeah, Boston's playing its guys. And also, Boston, you know, if you're Boston right now, it is important to win. It is important to play well because you want to be doing that going into the postseason. So, yeah, I don't dismiss it. They're not feeling pressure because they've done so much this year that they know what they're going to be going to the playoffs. But still, it's important for them to win. And if not, they wouldn't have their lineup out there. I mean, that's the best team in hockey, period, this year.
And now, so you look at the standings. Preds are 3 points back of Winnipeg. Calgary's in the mix, too. Both Winnipeg and Calgary have played 75 games. Winnipeg at 85 points. Calgary at 83 points. Calgary's the first team out of the playoffs right now. Preds 1 point back of Calgary, 3 points back of the Winnipeg Jets. Like you said, Joe, they got Pittsburgh coming up on Thursday. And by the way, Pittsburgh last night went on the road and got beat 7-4 by the mighty Detroit Red Wings last night. So I would imagine they'll be upset. Pittsburgh fighting for a playoff spot right now, too. They're in decent shape. They're at 82 points. They're the last team in the East right now. They're 3 points up on Florida, but that's a game coming up on Thursday that Pittsburgh needs to have. So, look, if you do buy into the Boston's going through the motions and they didn't have anything to play for, so I don't take too much out of it, that will not be the case on Thursday. Pittsburgh they'll be ready to go. They got things to play for.
Hugely important for them, yeah. And you look ahead, you got some – look, you got the trip coming up a Saturday, Monday, a two-game trip. It's at Winnipeg. It's at Calgary. So it could turn out that right there in the, you know, starting the last week of the season,
yep,
that you determine your fate right there. If the Preds can get to that trip and those games matter,
that's an accomplishment.
That's an accomplishment. That is an accomplishment. You know, at Pittsburgh. I mean, you got Vegas coming in here. You got Carolina coming in here. You're going to Dallas, so it's a lot of good teams to get to that point and make that trip matter.
By the way, at the top of the Central right now, so Dallas has been leading the division basically all year. And the way things sit right now, Minnesota's in the one spot at 95 points. Colorado's at two at 94 points. They've played one less game than Dallas has. Dallas also at 94. So Dallas, Colorado and Minnesota all right there, 1 point separating them right now in the Central. So that thing is really tightened up there towards the top, and Dallas could go from leading the division all year to maybe having to start the playoffs on the road against the Colorado Avalanche.
How about the Avs, yeah. How about a nice first-round series with Colorado with home ice for you? Yeah.
Congratulations, Dallas. Here you go. Here's Colorado getting healthier.
That's why
better.
It's an 82-game season. It's not a 65-game season.
Yeah, no question, but Cody Glass scores last night, so he continues to play well and be productive for the Predators. Shout out to our pick-to-click participant yesterday for correctly guessing Cody Glass. Joe, I thought you had one yesterday. Nick Fraser on the show yesterday picked Jeremy Lozon, to which my first reaction was, really? Jeremy
Lozon. So close.
How about that one? That's a heck of a pick. Okay, and it looked like he scored. They scored a nifty net goal. Lozon takes the shot. He's like 185 feet away from the net. And I guess apparently when he took the shot, it like glanced off of Cole Smith's body or stick or something, went all the way down the ice in the net, and close but no cigar for you yesterday in the competition.
Yeah. First of all, so obviously Nick is just trying to like give me the worst possible choice.
He was trying. Listen, it could have worked.
He was trying to help me by picking Jeremy Lozon.
Yeah.
Well,
I can either confirm or deny.
Okay.
The options were limited, Rex Road, yesterday.
Well, I understand the options are limited, but I mean, how about maybe a forward who plays more than like 8 minutes of ice time in a given game?
Actually scores every now and then. But to your point, God. We thought he scored last night for like a couple hours.
Yeah. And what? So, I mean, we're seriously going to review, like, it's so important to take away a goal from Jeremy Lozon. Like, you can't just give Jeremy Lozon a freaking goal.
Well, you got to give it to Cole Smith. Cole Smith immediately went to the bench and started fist-tapping people, so he knew he scored.
I need to just see a replay of this.
You really do, because it'll make you very mad.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jim Diamond of the Associated Press. Looking forward to that conversation. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We caught up with Jim Diamond from the Associated Press earlier this week and got his thoughts on the transition from David Poile to Barry Trotz, the job that Barry Trotz has in front of him, and much more. Jim Diamond has covered the Predators for a long time and was very familiar with Barry Trotz in his coaching days here with the Nashville Predators. Here's that conversation with Jim Diamond.
Jim, we were just talking about the Barry Trotz part of this, and obviously you are very familiar with Barry Trotz and have covered him his entire time here in Nashville. Number one, what kind of a general manager do you think he's going to be? And number two, what do you think this all means for John Hines as Barry Trotz is making his evaluation?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question as far as what kind of a GM he's going to be. He's worked under two of the kind of most legendary GMs in history in David Poile and Lou Lamoriello. So I think he's probably going to take a lot from what he's seen from them, what he's liked about them, what he hasn't liked about them. One thing about Barry is he's just been a student of the game his whole life, and he takes in everything, he sees everything, he notices everything. So I think he's obviously really detail-oriented in everything he does. So I don't think you're going to see any kind of knee-jerk reaction decisions made by him. I think he's going to take everything in and make kind of, educated decisions. But, having coached for, close to 30 years in the league, he knows the players, he knows the GMs, he knows everything that goes on in the game. So I'm curious to see how it goes, but I don't think he's going to be, kind of like the Wild Wild West or anything, making, huge changes and decisions without good reason or without informed research on his part.
Jim, what do you make of the way that the team has played really since the deadline? Obviously, the injuries have just really escalated here in the last couple of weeks, but the young guys like Evangelista and Novak and Glass, other young guys you want to point to, that this team's gotten pretty young really all across the board right now. What do you make of the way that this team has played given the circumstances over the last couple of weeks?
I thought John Hines gave an excellent answer to just about this type of question last night when he was asked, because he had every right to use the injuries as an excuse, and with Duchene going down last night. But he said it's an opportunity for these young guys. It's their first time in the NHL, so they want to make an impression. They're doing everything they can to playing for a roster spot for next year even, but. I think they're fun to watch. There's not a lot of pressure on these guys. Nobody expects the team to make the playoffs or do anything. So, these guys are just going out using their instincts. And a lot of them, like you mentioned, are super talented. And it kind of shows with what they're doing on the ice, and they're getting some results. So it's kind of fun to watch. You don't expect them to make any noise here down the stretch, just like we said with the injuries, but it's nice to see how kind of some names you've heard over the last couple of years coming through the system are starting to pan out.
We're talking to Jim Diamond from the AP. Jim, Robbie and I were kind of getting into Ryan Johansson. With a lot of these young guys that we were speaking about, the center position has kind of become a strength of the Predators. He still has 2 years left on his deal, $8 million a year. What do you foresee as the future of Ryan Johansson with the Nashville Predators?
I think his role will continue to diminish. I don't foresee a buyout in his future. I just think that that kind of hampers the team way longer than it should, even just keeping his contract, since the buyout window basically doubles the length of the contract. I just, you know, he hasn't been super effective the last couple of seasons for long stretches. So I think you're going to have a very expensive kind of role player, you know, over the next couple of seasons, because the team's not going to be great probably the next couple of seasons anyway. So if you just kind of let his contract run out, then you have a good amount of money on the cap going forward after that. But I think he's going to have less and less of a role these next couple of seasons.
Now, Jim, Tommy Novak has been probably the biggest surprise on this Nashville Predators team this year with the amount of production that he's had. He's kind of come out of nowhere for people. What did you know about Tommy Novak before all of this offensive production? And if so, do you think that this is something that he can continue for years to come and be a pivotal part of this Predators rebuild?
Yeah, I knew so little about him even last year when he was called up, because he's listed on the official roster as Thomas, but they always call him Tommy in the news releases. So, you know, we're supposed to go by what's on the roster, but he's always Tommy. So we didn't even know what to call him in our game stories. But again, he's a guy that has made the most of a kind of a golden opportunity that's been handed to him as far as ice time and roles and power play chances, and he's putting the puck in the net. And it's funny to hear kind of the opposing coaches talk about, you know, some of these guys, and even they're like, you know, I don't know who these guys are, but you know, they're making some headway and they're scoring some goals. But he's around the puck a lot, and I think that's a good sign for any player, and when he does, he can do some stuff with it. Hines, one of these recent games, there's been so many lately, just said something like he just has swagger with the puck. And I think that's a pretty accurate description in that, you know, things happen. He makes plays.
Jim, we've talked for a while just about the direction of the team. And obviously they, you know, David Poile identified they needed to sell at the deadline. They've done that. They created a ton of cap space, and they created a lot of assets for themselves coming back. What do you make of, just now that we're in the rearview mirror of the deadline, the moves that have been made, we've talked about Trotz coming in, how well positioned is Barry Trotz to maneuver with this roster, in your opinion, as he takes over on July 1st?
Short term, I don't think there's a lot. You know, maybe there could be some trade packages or anything coming along, but I think this is a longer term, you know, not rebuild, but just kind of restocking of the cabinet, because I think they've basically emptied Milwaukee out for who's on the Nashville roster now. So you're looking at, you know, needing some depth and some future prospects for this team, because like I said, I don't think they're competitive in the next two seasons. So I don't think there's going to be any sort of immediate impact or, you know, major trades or anything that's going to bring in any, you know, sort of talent or any free, you know, major free agent signing. So I think they need to draft and spend their money wisely over these next couple of seasons while they do look to get on the back on the other side of being in the playoff picture.
What about the decor? I mean, you've got, obviously, Ekholm is now out. We know what Josi is. There's the McDonough contract. They've got Tyson Barrie back in the deal from Edmonton. And then you take a look at Carrier, who's been hurt a lot this year. Fabro, who I don't think has been very good this year, they just signed to an extension. You get Cal Foote back in the Tampa Bay trade, and he's been okay. And then there's that Jeremy Lauzon deal that you and I talk about a lot. But what do you make of the future of the blue line and what that looks like right now with not a whole lot coming up in the pipeline either?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you saying that Foote has been okay is generous. Lauzon's actually looked better to me in some of these
I agree, you know,
games and opportunities with more ice time. I still think that contract is ridiculous, but that is absolutely one area they need to address. Tyson Barrie is really surprised me. I thought he was more of an offensive defenseman, and I don't know if it's just by necessity that he's playing more minutes and more defensive roles, but he's looked good in all three zones, I thought. But that's absolutely an area they need to address, because we've seen, you know, some of the call-ups you know, from Milwaukee that haven't been great in their time. And like, this is the first time in Nashville Predators history that it seems like they haven't had two or three NHL ready defensemen in Milwaukee to come in and make waves. So I think that's absolutely a position that they need to address, you know, looking longer term, because it's been a struggle to watch them, you know, with the, like you said, the Yossi and Carrier injuries, and impressive. But like you mentioned, he's been hurt a lot, and that's just a not a great foreshadowing long term. But you just hope it's maybe a bad sequence of events that you know, hopefully writes its way for what, you know, could be a very good, very exciting young player.
It was a big weekend, Jim, for the Nashville Predators as they unveiled their first ever statue outside of Bridgestone Arena of their legendary goalie, Pekka Rinne. How do you think Pekka Rinne will be remembered as an all-time goalie across the NHL?
Yeah, I think he was so steady for so long. And was really, you know, kind of the identity of the Predators to some degree, because, you know, sure, they had, you know, guys like, you know, Shea Weber and Yossi and everything, but Pekka Rinne, you know, gave them just some historic performances that kept them in playoff races and won them playoff series. And I think years ago, Barry Trotz called Pekka the most humble superstar he's ever met. And I think that was just a perfect description of who Pekka is, both on and off the ice. Just, you wouldn't know he was just a world-class goaltender and athlete if you just met him on the street. He's just that genuine of a person. And in Finland, hockey goaltender is really kind of one of the most recognizable sports figures. And for him to develop there, he's got such a reputation on both sides of the Atlantic. But he just did so much for the Predators, and I think for the city, he's really, you know, he earned that statue, that's for sure.
Jim, you're the best. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Jim Diamond from the Associated Press, our guest. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. He caught up with Milwaukee Admirals play-by-play announcer Aaron Sims. That's next here on Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome into another edition of Keezer's Corner. Glad to have you here with us on Preds Insiders. It's another great week of Preds hockey, and I had to make a good phone call up north to Milwaukee. And so I'm going to bring in a guy that has called Admirals games for quite some time, since I was a young tyke, albeit. I think he's doing a great job this year, and so are the Admirals. They're in a playoff spot currently, and I could not be happier to bring in play-by-play voice of the Admirals, Aaron Sims. Aaron, we're so glad to have you here on Preds Insiders this week. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Nick. And you know what? More and more, I'm being introduced as a guy that somebody heard when they were little. So, yeah, it makes me feel, well, it makes me feel old, but it also makes me feel happy to still be here. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Pete Weber, someone I ran into just the other day, it's always great to see familiar faces here within the Nashville Predators organization. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you from time to time as well. But Aaron, the Milwaukee Admirals, they've been awesome to watch this year. And if you haven't gotten a chance to watch any of their games this year, I highly recommend it. And go listen to Aaron too. He's on the iHeartRadio app as well, and always has an ode before every single game on Twitter. So please go check that out. It's awesome. The Admirals do a great job on social media. But Aaron, I want to start off here because it's affected both the Preds and the Admirals. Injuries. Oh my gosh. There have been so many this year. And Carl Taylor and his staff, they've been keeping up with these guys and going strong in the AHL, with the Preds currently having 7 skaters out of the lineup. What have you made of the Admirals just having guys going back and forth like a revolving door lately?
It's frustrating, but I imagine it's frustrating very much for Nashville too. So you never know what you have, but that's life in the minors. That's, well, unfortunately, it's kind of life in the majors at the moment too for some teams. You know, the question is then, who's going to step up and take those minutes? Who's going to take on the role of being the defenseman on the number one power play unit or the quarterback on the number one power play unit when Jordan Gross is gone? Who's going to be the guy who eats up some minutes on the penalty kill, things like that? And when you have, you know, guys getting called up, guys being traded, all of these things that have happened around this organization over the last 6 weeks and injuries longer than that, you need to figure it out. Scott Nichol and the scouts and the Predators organization have done a great job of bringing guys in, finding guys on second chances, maybe third chances, guys who have fallen through the cracks, have been passed over in their organization, looking for a new start. Scott Nichol has done a great job of that ever since he's been the GM in Milwaukee, a guy like Colin Blackwell, Jared Tenorti, Rocco Grimaldi, for that matter, guys who were getting a new start, and that's what he's done now. In the process, you go from a team that was averaging 3.5 goals per game to one that's down around 2.7, 2.8 per contest. So you've had to change the way you play. You've gone from this team that is kind of a fast break team, to use a basketball analogy, to a team that has to play a half court game and grind you out and win a college basketball game like San Diego State did over Creighton here the other night. And you know what? They're doing it. The players have bought in. The players are relishing the second chance, third chance, whatever it may be for them. A different role, when a guy goes up, Phil Tomasino gets recalled. Somebody's got to replace his power play time. Somebody's got to replace his time. Kiefer Sherwood, a guy who has a big shot, who's going to replace his power play time. Guys are getting chances, and they're taking advantage of them. So credit to the players. They have to execute, but also a big credit to the coaching staff, because they have had to change on the fly. And rather than say, you know what, we have Derrick Henry and we're going to run 30 times a game, and now Derrick Henry's gone, but we're still going to run 30 times a game, you can't do that. You don't have Derrick Henry. So now the Milwaukee Admirals do not have Derrick Henry anymore, but they can throw the ball, and that's what they've done. They've adapted to the personnel they have, and everybody has bought in, and they continue to win hockey games. And, I've heard it a lot lately. They don't ask how, they ask how many. And the Admirals have been racking up wins, 5 straight as of currently, and hopefully many more. And there's high hopes around here. It's funny because there probably shouldn't be with all the changes that have gone on. If you were to just look at paper and where this team, what this team's roster was, I'm rambling a lot, I apologize. What this team's roster was in the middle of December to what it is now, you would not think that this was a first-place team. But here we are, almost in April, and this is a team that has a legitimate chance to win the Central Division Championship and do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what they can do. And the Preds, you know, they've been doing their very best impression of this ragtag group can just grind all these wins out. So I've been very happy to see how the Preds have put some wins together here lately. You named some guys that have really helped out with that. You know, a Kiefer Sherwood, a Phil Tomasino. I mean, it's been amazing to see them. And needless to say, Tommy Novak, too. And yep. I do want to switch gears here, because UC Stars played the puck the other night, and I know that that led to a goal for the Seattle Kraken. It was Tolvanen's second goal of the game, his first multi-goal game with the Kraken as well. Very funny to see him come back into town, and he also was a guy that was in Milwaukee as well. But
and did Aaron, great, yeah. And did great, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, he really did. And just to switch gears, Yaroslav Askarov, he's been just doing so well. And just this month, he's 5-3-0. He's made 245 saves. He's allowed 22 goals. And like I said, I thought of him when I saw Saros play the puck the other day. So maybe at training camp, we can see them run some drills together and get better at it. But what have you made of his production here this year and his development with the Milwaukee Admirals?
He's been pretty amazing. You think that last year this guy played 6 games in the top league in Russia. He played another 9 in the minor league in Russia. So 15 total games. I can't remember what it was, but somebody told me he didn't play really after February last year. it's pretty amazing. You know, there was some concern, I think, as to his conditioning. Would he be able to handle a full workload? You know, would Devin Cooley have to play every other game? And not that Cools can't do it, but I think they really wanted to push Askarov, and for the most part, he's been answering. He's had some off nights here and there, but he's 20 years old, and that's to be expected. And again, he's busier this year than he's ever been in his career, and he has been magnificent. He has a lot of fun out there. He does. It's interesting because, you know, some of the things he does rub people the wrong way. I don't think he's doing it because he's rubbing it in. I know he's not doing it because he's rubbing it in. He's doing it because he understands the show of what sports is. He understands the entertainment aspect. And when he goes back and plays the puck, Spencer Stastny, a fantastic defenseman from Milwaukee, was telling me he's on the bench laughing. Yarrow's behind the net with four players trying to wrestle. He's pinning the puck against the boards on the trapezoid line when he should be in the crease, but he's back there tying it up and trying to play it away, and eventually gets back and everything's fine. But you know, more times than not, he takes some chances, he takes some gambles, but he does a pretty good job of seeing what's going on, of guessing what the play is, of reading what is going to happen. And you know, are there things to clean up? Absolutely there are, but at the same time, like he's fun to watch. He gives you a heart attack here and there. But he handles the puck extremely well. He's right up near the top. Like we had Pekka, you know, years ago. Pekka obviously handles the puck incredibly well, and he did so at the American Hockey League level. And some guys who were here handled the puck very well and did okay, and then did better as they worked their way up to the National Hockey League. Saros was all right here. But he's gotten better in the NHL than he was here, obviously. Marek Mazanets was a guy who could handle the puck extremely well. Yaroslav Askarov is right there at the top. He's unbelievable at it. Again, he takes some chances, but you know what? He covers up most of them, and the vast majority of them. And I think if you try to take... There are things to refine, but you don't want to take the fun and the showmanship and the swagger out of his game, because that is what's making him a fantastic prospect, and that is what's going to take him to, I believe, great heights at the National Hockey League level.
I think we'll be ready for him as soon as the Predators think he is ready as well. Play-by-play voice of the Admirals, Aaron Sims, is with us. Glad to have him on here with us on Preds Insider. So, Aaron, I know that I think one of the other big faces we're waiting on to make it to the NHL, and I texted you as soon as I heard about him being recalled over to the Admirals, is Joakim Kimmel. I know he's only played 5 games. He's got 3 points. He is eligible for the postseason. We did confirm with one another. And after his season ended in the Liga, now he's over there. So in the small sample size that you do have of Joakim, what do you think he's done successfully so far here in the first few games?
Pretty much everything. He's 5'11". He's 18. He doesn't turn 19 until the end of April. He is 18 years old. He is a guy who has played 2 years in the men's league in Finland. Now he's playing in the American Hockey League, which is a tough league, and it is a men's league. And he has not been shy about hitting people. He has done very well in the defensive zone. Things that I don't think we necessarily thought. We thought maybe he'd come over here and he'd slap the puck from the tops of the circles and that. We knew he had a great shot, great release, all of this stuff, right? But he has been in the mix on everything. And he's a special player. He had told me that he was disturbed by the way his season had gone in Finland. Now, he tied for second on the team in goals over there, but he thought after he had scored 15 as a 17-year-old that he was going to get a bigger role and more responsibilities, and it didn't work out that way for him this year with Jyväskylä. So he was anxious. He was eager to get to North America and play, and he has stepped in. And I said to Carl Taylor the other day, you know, oftentimes what will happen is a player will come in, and it doesn't matter how old he is or how mature he is in his game, he'll come in and he'll have 3-4 games right away. And it's kind of the adrenaline kicking in, and you're going to have
you know, they're going to have good performances, but then there's going to be a lull. And Carl said, I don't see that with this kid. Like, he, the way he's playing and the way he's thrown his body around and the way he's defending and all of these things, it's kind of like, you know what, he may go 0 for 4, but he's going to make a couple of great stops at shortstop. Like one of those things. Like, he's not going to, he's going to contribute in some fashion. And obviously, offensively is how everybody wants him to contribute at whatever level he is at. He is an offensive player, but he has brought more to the table. And I think it has been a pleasant surprise to see what he's done. He's become a big part of this team, and he's not going to come out of the lineup. There's 6-7 guys in Nashville right now that are eligible to come back to Milwaukee, and I don't know if they will all come back if the Preds don't make the playoffs, but if they do, Kemmel's not coming out of the lineup. He's been that good since he's been here, and he doesn't deserve to come out of the lineup. He's been really, really good.
Well, that's quite the encouraging note to have, considering how well he's been playing over there in Europe, and now he's within the Preds organization here in North America, so hopefully his game continues to translate over here. But I got one more here for you, Aaron, and I think mm-hmm. this might be a fair question to assess down the stretch, and obviously I know that you spoke recently with new general manager Barry Trotz, but I kind of want to ask you a question about Carl Taylor, a guy that you spend a lot of time with, and not saying that John Hines is in any trouble whatsoever, but with Barry coming in, you know, he could consider Carl Taylor getting that opportunity at the NHL level in the near future, or he could go somewhere else as well. But sure. What have you made of Carl Taylor at the AHL level, and do you think he deserves a shot either with the Preds or a different organization in his career?
Well, of course he does. Yeah. I mean, he's been a winner as an assistant coach at lower levels. With other teams at the American Hockey League level, he's been a winner in the ECHL as a head coach. He's won here. He's had a variety of teams. He's won different ways. He's had a big, heavy team that led the league in penalty minutes for a couple of seasons. He's won a playoff round. He's developed a ton of guys. You go around to the National Hockey League rosters right now, and you're going to find 20, 25 guys that in the last 5 years had a stop in Milwaukee, and that's pretty incredible. That he graduates a high number of players, and when they're here, they have great seasons. His power play is always good, has been forever. And this goes with Greg Rollo and Scott Ford, too. The trio has worked so well together. And again, this is different teams that come around season to season. You got to match your personnel. You got to try to also play the same way that John Hines wants to play in Nashville, because when the call-ups come, and this year we've seen that they're coming in bunches, they have to be ready to go up and step right in. And more times than not, you are seeing guys who are ready to step into the lineup. This isn't the time of this isn't the days when a call-up would happen and they'd go up and play 2.5 minutes and that was it. These guys are coming up and contributing in a major, major way. Phil Tomasino, should he have been up at the beginning of the season? I don't know, but I can tell you that Phil Tomasino really thrived down here and got some confidence in some big roles, and now he's getting the chance to play in big roles up there. If you want to be a curveball pitcher, you better throw some curveballs. If you want to be a top offensive talent in the National Hockey League, you better have the opportunity to play top offensive minutes rather than being a guy who's going to play 11 minutes and on the second power play unit. Tomasino's got that opportunity, helped out greatly by Carl and the rest of the staff. Evangelista, the same thing. These guys have come in, and this is not to say those players haven't earned it. I also want to say that I really like John Hines personally. I met him years ago in passing when he was at the University of Wisconsin. So we just kind of shook hands. It's funny, he took the national team job in Ann Arbor like soon thereafter after we just met. But anyway, does Carl Taylor deserve a chance to be a coach in the National Hockey League? 100%. 100%. I mean, the guy has had nothing but success here in Milwaukee with different clubs. He's graduated players. I mean, what are the two things you want out of your American Hockey League team? You want to win hockey games, and you want to graduate players. And it helps to win the games because then those players get used to having that taste of winning hockey games. Carl's done that. He had the best team in the league in the 1920 season, shut down due to COVID. Last year they won a playoff round, ended up losing to the best team in the league. He was with Chicago a couple of years ago during COVID. They had by far the best team in the American Hockey League. Now, that was a different league, but they were the best. So Carl has been helping to pilot the best team in the American Hockey League for three or four of the last 5 years. And does he deserve a chance? 100%. Absolutely, he does.
We will all be looking forward for that day, Aaron, for sure. But thank you so much for joining us on Preds Insiders. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you guys have a few days off, but I'm so glad to hear that the Admirals are thriving as they typically are, and I'm so glad to see that we've had a lot of guys come up and contribute with the Nashville Predators, and we have a few games left, so I'm curious to see who else could, you know, step up big for the Preds, but thank you so much for joining us, Aaron.
Great to talk to you, Nick. Anytime, and thank you.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Thanks to Nick Keiser and Aaron Sims for being with us on the last part of the program there. Always good to catch up with Aaron Sims and see what's going on up there in Milwaukee and down at the AHL level. And Aaron Sims does a fantastic job on the broadcast for the Milwaukee Admirals. So always a pleasure to have him on the program here. So the Predators have made things interesting heading into play tonight. And I'll tell you, we talked about this earlier in the show. They deserve so much credit for what they've been able to do with the injuries that have taken place, the trade deadline decisions that were made, all of which, for the most part, I pretty much agreed with. I mean, I thought it was time for the Predators to shake things up, and I'm interested to see what happens here. But now 3 points back at the Jets, two games in hand, and we'll see if the Predators can go into Pittsburgh tomorrow and come away with some points. I mean, that would be ideal. We talked about it earlier. I mean, the offense is a struggle. Right now they're basically – they've been at two goals a game for the last little bit here, and it's hard to win consistently when you're scoring two goals a game, but this Predators team is scrappy, and they're fighting, and they have UC Saros, and that always helps. So we'll see if they can keep things going on that front. Speaking of Predators goaltenders, it was really cool to see the Pekka Rinne statue unveiling this weekend on the plaza at Bridgestone Arena. Lots of fans out there for the event. It was really cool to see all the photos and kind of like the overhead shots of the fans out there on the plaza and the unveiling of the statue. If you've been a Predators fan for really any length of time, you know what Pekka Rinne means and what he symbolizes and the player that he was for this franchise. And, you know, the jersey went in the rafters last year. I thought that was really well deserved for him to be the first player in team history to have his jersey retired by the team. We saw that last year and the celebration kind of leading into the stadium series last year against Tampa Bay, and he dropped the puck for the ceremonial first face-off in the stadium series, and there's this iconic photo of him, I guess, sliding the puck and throwing it over there, and or throwing the catfish over there and almost hitting somebody. The look on his face was just classic. But, you know, as somebody who covered Pekka Rinne for a long time, it was just really cool to see the statue up there, and the statue's going to be on the plaza, and it's a great-looking statue out there. They did a phenomenal job. And look, Pekka Rinne, you know, is we've talked about this before on the show. Is he ever going to be a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Probably not, if I had to guess. I think he's kind of right there on the edge. You know, you win a Stanley Cup and they finish the job in 2017, or maybe another Vezina trophy or two. Maybe he's in there. I don't know. Like, I guess we'll see what happens. I think he's got a case to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's ultimately going to get there, but I think he is so important to this team and symbolizes kind of what they've gone through to get to this point. He was a homegrown superstar. He elected to stay. He was really kind of like the first homegrown superstar that elected to stay with the team. When you think about it, I mean, I think back to 2012 and there was the conversation of Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, Pekka Rinne. They all really needed a new contract and needed a new deal. And Pekka was the first one early that year. I think it was on his birthday,
on November the 3rd, I want to say of 2011, where he decided to sign the contract, and he went ahead and got that out of the way, signed that seven-year deal, and that was that. We know what happened with Suter later that season, and in the offseason he went to the Wild, and then Shea Weber ultimately signing the offer sheet with Philadelphia and the Predators matching that, which I thought was another pivotal moment in the history of the franchise. But Pekka-Rinne was the homegrown guy. I mean, he started his career here. He ended his career here. That's a very rare thing to do in the world of sports, especially when you play in the league that long. And I just thought it was really cool to see the way that he was treated, to see that him have just another opportunity to address the fan base, to address the people on the plaza. One thing about Pekka is it's always been a genuine, what you see is what you get with him. I mean, he's impressive in every way. He's incredible to deal with. One of my favorite things about Pekka, just having covered him, was even after a tough loss, like I think back to the Game 7 loss against Winnipeg or a shootout loss that he would take really personally, he always made himself available, and he always took the time to answer questions. And that's kind of the main thing beyond the hockey player side of it, is just the time and money and everything else he was willing to give to other people. And I think he should be commended for that. I think he has been commended for that and will continue to be here in this community. And Predators fans know how important Pekka-Rinne is and will continue to be. So I thought it was really cool this past weekend to see the statue being unveiled, and that is something that will be out on the plaza of Bridgestone Arena for a long time to come. So excited to see that, and excited to see the fans get another opportunity to show their appreciation to a franchise legend. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next week. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. You've been listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.